we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Congratulations, Brevard County. God has blessed us with another marvelous Monday that we can come in here and we can listen to the Word of God, build each other up in our faith, and trust Him that He's got a good plan for us and that He is going to partner with us to build His kingdom this week. I'm really excited about the things we're going to be sharing out of Isaiah 28. Really excited about the passage from tomorrow. And so I want to encourage you, if you are unable to catch the program at 8:30 of a morning on WMIE or 5 o'clock on WMIE 91.5, if you are unable to catch it at WWBC 1510 AM, the next day it should be available on the podcast and on the radio station's website, WMIEFM.com. If you go there and listen, I believe that what I'm going to be speaking on in tomorrow's broadcast, I believe it will be a very, very encouraging and edifying passage of Scripture. So anyway, we want to say thank you to Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric. And man, I'm telling you, just about everyone I know has had some sort of problems with their air conditioner this year. And if you live anywhere in Brevard County, from the southernmost tip to the northernmost tip, from the beach on inland, they can come to where you are. They can analyze your situation. They can get you fixed up. And if you tell me that you have them coming out to fix your heater, you and I are going to need to talk. I was watching the news or reading the news here a couple of weeks ago and saw where it was 129 degrees in Kuwait. And I know some people who spent some time in Kuwait. And so I texted them and said, now, don't you feel cooler here? I mean, it's much, much better to be in Brevard County than in 129 degrees. And we have water that we can fall into and cool off if we need to. So if your AC is straining a little bit, give them a call. Have them come out. They can check it out, clean it up, do a service call on it, get you running at optimal performance, and keep you cool. So we want to encourage you also. I believe school starts this week, and I don't have any kids in any school at any level, and so I'm a little out of the loop of information as to exactly what day it starts. I think it starts the 10th, but be on alert when you're going through the school zones. I tell people that I don't like to speed because it causes my wallet to break out into poverty. And speeding through school zones has a double impact on your on the fine level, so you don't want to do that. So pay attention. In fact, you might be driving right now and find yourself approaching a school zone. Remember, in just a couple of days, that light is going to be flashing and you're going to want to take notice of it. So as you're going through those school zones, pray for our kids. They need a move of God. Society is making it harder and harder for kids to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, we are doing more outreaches than we ever have to try and reach our kids, and society is making it more and more difficult, more challenging. And I would much rather train a child up in the way that they should go when they are young rather than try and repair them as a broken adult. God does both, but one is a whole lot easier and produces a whole lot more fruit than the other. So we want to encourage you to be praying for our kids. Let's get into The Word of God, by the way, tonight is our Women of Worth meeting at the church, August the 8th, 6:30 p.m. They start eating, and they eat well. I will tell you that. 7 o'clock is the meeting, and they're going to be coming together and having a great time. So we encourage you to come and be a part of that. We're going to go into Isaiah 28, verse number 14. We are going to read from 14 down through verse number 19 today and see a contrast between what people are doing and what God's recommended course of action and what his provision is. Verse number 14, Isaiah 28. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men who rule this people who are in Jerusalem. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death and with Sheol, we are in agreement. When the overflowing scourge passes through, it will not come to us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood we have hidden ourselves. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily, and I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plummet. The hail will sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters will overflow the hiding place. Your covenant with death will be annulled, and your agreement with Sheol will not stand. When the overflowing scourge passes through, then you will be trampled down by it. As often as it goes out, it will take you. For morning by morning it will pass over, and by day and by night it will be a terror just to understand the report. So the passage goes on a little bit there, but that's reading enough to get the point across. And what the prophet is saying is that the people of God, the covenant people of God, that they had bought into a lie. It says that they had entered into a covenant with death. And that means that they had tried to enter into an agreement and says, even though something bad is happening all around us, it's not going to touch us. We have an exclusion. And, you know, I think of the old story of, you know, two animals. One was a predator, and the other was considered the prey. And one of them was on their way over. They were trying to cross a bridge or trying to cross a river of water, and the prey was, or the predator was actually being carried over on the prey. The prey could swim, the predator could not, and halfway over, the predator reached out, bit the other one. It was a poisonous snake, and when it bit the other animal, said, "What have you done? Don't you realize now we're both going to die?" And they said, "But you don't understand. By my very nature, I am a predator. I want you to know that there is not a person on the planet that death will have mercy on simply because of an agreement or a nod. There is no one that's under the sound of my voice that is invincible or immune to the price tag of death, except for this reality. We serve a Savior who came and died upon the cross and entered into the depths of hell and snatched the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And so I no longer have to live in fear of what death can do to me. I now know that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and if this body perishes, it perishes under Christ. And if this body lives, it lives for the glory of God. It is no longer I that lived, but Christ Jesus who lives inside of me." If you are one of those people who think that you can do what other people have done and it has killed them, but it will not touch you, you are being deceived. How many people thought that they could go and do whatever they wanted to do. They could go and have sex with whoever they wanted to have sex with, and they wouldn't get pregnant, and they wouldn't catch a fatal disease, a terminal disease. It wasn't going to happen to them because they were a quote-unquote good person. I want you to know, death doesn't strike those types of bargains. Sin doesn't strike those types of bargains. You try and rationalize with sin or with death, and you're going to find that there are loopholes that you were unaware of. And that's what had happened with the people in the Promised Land. They thought, well, you know, this will happen to the poor people. It will happen to the unlearned, but it will not happen to us. We're the sophisticated. We are the elite. We are the educated. We are the powerful. And I want you to know that death does not care about your status. There is only one who has the power to snatch the keys of death, hell, and the grave, and that was Jesus Christ. And thankfully, He did that for you and I. He did not do that to empower us to live under the bondage of sin, compulsion to sin. He came to set us free from sin and death's dictatorial control over our life. But what death does is it causes people to believe a lie. Listen to what it says. For we have made lies our refuge. Folks, I'm here to tell you that speaking the truth and being people of integrity is growing more and more rare. And as it becomes more and more rare, I was looking for another word, I can't find one, so I'll just use that one again. There is pressure to conform to what everybody else is doing, and that is lying, situational ethics, compartmentalizing your life where you are true over here, but you operate in deception over here. And I want you to know that that is not the way that God chooses to operate. Here is a reality. The more scarce or sparse an item is, the more valuable it is, the more precious it is. And so I want to encourage you today, do not be like those that it says in the New Testament that in the latter days there would be people who are lovers of themselves and they would be following deceiving spirits, that they would only be listening to people who would tell them the things that tickled their ears. That's not, listen, truth is always truth. And a lie is always a lie. There are some people who operate by the philosophy that if you tell a lie enough times, if you tell it frequently enough, that pretty soon it will become the truth. That is not the case. A lie is still a lie. A lie is still the native tongue of the devil, and truth is still the native language of heaven. It says that all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. I don't want to be a part of that. And so I want to be a person of truth and integrity, and God wants you to be as well. And so even though there's a society, and there are lots of societies that have tried this, where they've made a covenant with the devil, and they have tried to bargain their way out of punishment, it never works out well. You see, the devil always has been and always will be a thief, a destroyer, and a murderer. That's what he does. And so it's only a matter of time before he comes and claims what is under his domain. Verse number 16 contrasts that with where we have just come from. It says in verse 16, therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. Now, this is a messianic prophecy. This is referring to Jesus Christ, and he is our foundation. He is our foundation. Any other foundation upon which you try and build your life, you are going to find that it is a shaky foundation. There's only one immovable object in the entire world as we know it, and that is Jesus Christ. He's not an object. He's a person. He is a. We are called to be in a relationship with him. He is our foundation. You can't build on any other foundation. You don't want to build on any other foundation because you. Listen, I have driven up and down the roads, had conversation with some of the men of our church, and have seen houses that were being built primarily in the central part of the state as we were transporting kids. And I looked at the way that they were being constructed, and even though the foundation was right, the materials that they were using, and then to find out the price tag that they're charging, I was like, I wouldn't want to live in that house. I wouldn't want to own that house at a third of the price. And some of my old-timer construction people, they see, you know, the same thing that I see. I want to build on my foundation, and I want it to be the best materials as possible. You see, there are a couple of ways that people go through their shopping experience. They look for, first of all, they can look for prestige sake. They can look for the label. They can look for the price tag, and they're trying to impress people with whatever the price tag has, whether it's cool or whether it's not cool. And that has its, you know, limitations. There are other people who want to go through life and they want to buy things as inexpensively as possible. So for them, it is also all about the price tag. It is all about the least amount of money going out as possible. But then they're in between those two extremes, one where they're trying to hang on to as much money as possible and one where they're trying to spend as much money as possible and impress everybody else. There is a third group, and that is, I am looking for the best value. If it is the least expensive, that is fine. If it costs a little bit more, that is fine. But I am looking for what will provide me optimal performance, and I'm not going to have to replace it every 6 months. It's got longevity. It's going to endure. It's going to be the least expensive product in the long run. And so you will find that even though there are people that will have more flash and things like that, they won't have the foundation that you have with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Nothing wrong with stuff. Nothing wrong with stuff. As long as that stuff does not have you, that it is a tool in your hand that God can use to lead other people into a closer walk with Jesus Christ. Make sure that you are not in bondage to anyone or anything. If you entered into a covenant with death and deception, guess what? That means that everything that death and deception engages in, that you are obliged to engage in that same stuff as well. I don't want to do that. I'm in a covenant with life. I'm in a covenant with God. I am in a covenant. And so every battle that God is in, I want to be involved in that. When he is pursuing the souls of men, of women, of boys and girls, I want to be engaged in that. I hope that you are ready to be about the Father's business. Too many people say, you know what? I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too uneducated. I don't have enough experience. I'm too much of an introvert, too much of a whatever, you name it. And Jesus at 12 years old, his parents, they lost him in a caravan to Jerusalem. And when they found him, he was teaching and discussing with the teachers there in the temple area. And when they found him, they said, why have you treated us like that? And he said, didn't you realize I must be about my Father's business? And when God is the foundation of your life, you are going to say, you know what? This is the most important thing in my life. Telling other people about Jesus. You see, when I 1,000 years from now, it's not going to matter whether or not I drove a Mercedes, or I never have, by the way, or whether I drove, you know, the 1969 Corvair convertible that I had when I was in high school. By the way, I thought it was a great car. I don't care what Ralph Nader said. I wish I still had that car. I wish I had the car after that and the car after that. I had some really, really impressive cars. But you know what? 1,000 years from now, none of that's going to matter. What does matter is the fact that Jesus Christ has been the foundation of my life since I was about 7 or 8 years old. And I really like it. That it says that this stone is a tried stone. It is a stone that has endured the test of time. It is a stone that has overcome every temptation. You see, the scripture says Jesus was tempted in every area like we were. It was an examined stone. When Jesus stood before Pilate, he said, "I find no fault with this man." It is a tried stone. When you go and test him with your finances, you begin to step out in obedience, you will find that God is faithful to his word and faithful to his promises. It is a precious cornerstone. I wonder what it is like, what it would be like if all of us Christians stepped up just one notch the value that we placed on our relationship with God. Just one notch. I'm not talking just going totally crazy and going all in. I've had some people say, you know, you don't want to be too godly and you don't want to be completely and totally unworldly. And I kind of shake my head just a little bit. Here's what I want to be. Okay. I'm thankful that God is a precious cornerstone. Not everything that Jesus did took place inside the temple. There were some really valuable works that took place there, but there was also valuable ministry that took place where people's lives were on a daily basis. That's what I want to be. I want to be a real worshiper, a real child of God inside the church, and I want to be a real worshiper, a real servant of God outside the four walls of the church. A sure foundation. Now get this, whoever believes will not act hastily. We live in such a fast-paced society. Everything is going at the speed of light. I have my phone at my bed at nighttime, and whenever I wake up, I tend to check for a couple of reasons. One is to see what time it is, to see how much more time I have to sleep. And the second is I get news notifications on there. It tells me if I've missed a text, if I've missed a call. It tells me if there's breaking news around the world. And there was one night that it was just rapid fire. There was so much news that was going on, and things were changing so rapidly that they were constantly giving out rapid news flashes. Our world changes instantly. America changed in a very short period of time on September 11th. It changed in a very short period of time when we were attacked at Pearl Harbor. But I want you to know that the wise child of God recognizes that one of the wisest things that you can do is to spend time with God, to know how you should react and to know when you should react. Okay? Now, how you should react and when you should react, and there will be all sorts of different discussions on those things. You know, I heard a preacher one time, he said, if you slap me on the cheek, Jesus said to turn the other cheek. And so he pretended to turn the other cheek, and he said, but if you strike me again, I want you to know I'm out of cheeks to turn. And you know, I'm thinking, you know, I don't know about that. But I do know this. As a husband, I am called to be the protector, the covering of my wife. I want to pray over her. I want to edify her. I encourage her. I want her to be the best that she can possibly be. I want her to excel at her job. She does. I want my daughters to excel at their job. They do. I want my son to excel at his job. In fact, I'll be honest with you. I'm praying that the saints at Merit Assembly of God, that they are the most valuable employees of any job that they have. That when it comes time for people to look around, that they say, these people bring the most value to the table. That's what I want to accomplish. Now, one of the things that you have to resist against is the pressure to act hastily. Okay? A salesman says, look, if you don't sign on the bottom line right now, you are going to miss out on this once-in-a-lifetime offer. Okay, you ready for this? Let me tell you what we call that in Oklahoma. Baloney. If you have to act that hastily upon it, then you are going to make a lot of mistakes along the way. I've told you a little bit about how I got to Florida. I got to Florida through my job as a shoe department manager. And the company that I had worked for, they had lost their lease in one chain of department stores. They had lost that geographic region, and they were trying to revitalize the chain that they were working for in Florida. And so after they had been gone for a period of time, they called me and they said, we would like for you to move to Melbourne and run our shoe department. I thought they were talking Australia. And I told them this, to make a long conversation short. I said, okay, you're going to have to let me pray over it. And they said, well, we've never had anybody tell us that before. How long do you need to pray for it? And I said, you know what? If you give me 24 hours, I will call you tomorrow and I will tell you what I have heard from God. And come to find out, my wife was already praying. And so we just didn't take the job because it was offered to us. We actually took a pay cut to come to this job. But I will tell you this, our prayer was this: God, if you're moving us to Florida, you have to open up a door of ministry, because I'm not called to sell shoes forever. You called me to be a pastor. You called me to be a messenger of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I will not act in haste. I will only act at your discretion. And I pray that whatever comes your way, you see, as a pastor, I've seen way too many people get promoted right out of being able to attend church. And that promotion ended up devastating their spiritual life and their family. I've seen that too many times. You and I, listen, God is a patient God. He is long-suffering. And so I'm not encouraging you to sit on your thumbs. What I am encouraging you to do is hear from God. When he says act, don't hesitate. Act. When he says wait upon me, wait upon him. But whatever we do, let's not make lies the foundation of our life. If you are a skilled liar, you need a new profession. You need a new savior, because Jesus does not deceive. And I just pray that you would realize that Jesus is your tried stone, a precious cornerstone and a sure foundation, and you do not have to be in a hurry. God bless you. We thank you for tuning in, and tune in tomorrow. I can't wait to share that word with you. God bless you. We'll see you then right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new. I tell how great you are, I tell my praise to you. It's like an